right, the stage is in place, the actors are ready to go, and the show is about to begin. So get your popcorn and enjoy the show. But remember this, at the end of it all, when the smoke settles and it's all said and done, God is the one who's ultimately in control. Let's talk about it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, welcome to the program. This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight. It is Monday, July 22nd, 2024. Please do me a favor before we get started on this wild ride, and it's going to be a wild ride tonight. Please do me a favor, smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification, help us to push our material out on these platforms and get the word out. And this is how you can do this. A simple thing you can do is just simply hitting that like button and helping us push this out. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, please give us a good review. That's going to help us push out this our podcast on these audio platforms so others can hear our program as well. All right, folks, so I do have my phone here, and the reason why is because I'm going to be reading some stuff from you from our Telegram channel. By the way, if you've not subscribed to us on Telegram, you need to go over there and look at that, because there's a lot of information that we will share exclusively on our Telegram channel that we will not share on these public forums like this because of censorship. So I'm going to read you a little bit of that. And again, I pray and hope that this will remain and it will not be taken down. But we're going to definitely push the boundaries tonight because there is so much stuff going on. Let's start with the breaking news that we heard yesterday. This was announced on Sunday because we're going to talk about all this tonight. Listen, let me just go ahead and tell you up front that most of you guys know this by now, but for you that don't know, I am not a fan of politics. I don't personally like politics. I don't even like getting on here and wasting podcast airtime and video time talking about this. But this has got to be discussed tonight because we're gonna hit a lot of angles. We're gonna bring to light some things, and I'm gonna show you today that I believe that what we're seeing is theatrics on a whole other level. I'm talking about everything that's going on is, again, like I said at the beginning of this, it's a global stage. The players are put in place, the actors are put into place, and we are all the audience that is enjoying the show. There is sinister forces at hand behind the scenes pulling the strings, and a shadow government that we will never probably see the light of day of, but they are pulling the strings. And listen to me, it's not about Republican, it's not about conservative, it's not about GOP, it's not about liberals. It's about a more sinister plan, scheme, plot, whatever you want to call it, for a greater purpose. And I believe the Bible forewarns about this, where it's heading in the future. So get ready. So let me talk about this. Biden officially has done what everybody already knew he was going to do. Biden announces that he's dropping out of the race and he endorses Kamala Harris. Okay, now, everybody, if you paid attention, we've known about this for years. In fact, here's a video clip showing that this was the plan all along, guys. And we've just, again, we've been strung along in this theatrics, in this play, and we've gone through this, and now here it is come to fruition. Check it out.
And like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign. We don't have that. We haven't, and we discussed it.
All right. Again, President Joe Biden announced as of yesterday on Sunday, July 21st, which, by the way, was National Ice Cream Day. I thought that was, I'm sure that was not a coincidence that of all the days that he could have announced that he was stepping down, he announced it on National Ice Cream Day. Well, what does that even mean? If you know, listen, if you've kept up with Joe Biden, you'll know that this guy was all about his ice cream. You know how many photos was leaked or released or whatever of him eating ice cream, chocolate chip ice cream, mint chocolate chip ice cream, or whatever the case would be. And consequently, he announces on National Ice Cream Day that he is stepping down. In a statement posted to his X account on Sunday, Biden said that he had decided not to accept the nomination and to focus all of his energies on, quote, my duties as president for the remainder of my term. Biden added that he was endorsing Harris for the presidential nomination, touting her as the candidate to, quote, defeat Republican nominee former President Donald Trump. Now, what is very extremely interesting about this, and again, this is why I've got my phone pulled up here. I want to read some stuff to you that I find interesting. Number one, it is interesting that no one, as of the recording of this today, on Monday, Joe Biden officially dropped out of the presidential race and endorsed Kamala Harris. Actually, it was announced yesterday on Sunday, but Biden's Sunday decision, our sudden decision to drop out of the race, did not come to a press conference or an official White House press release. That's very suspect to me. But rather, it came from a post on X from Biden's X account that contained a letter without an official presidential seal. Even Biden's campaign staffers were completely blindsided by Joe Biden's announcement to drop out of the race. Quote, none of us understand what's happening. This was according to one of his own staffers, according to Politico. Quote, we're all finding out by a tweet. Guys, do you realize how unprofessional that is? That raises, among all the other red flags, this raises another red flag. Shortly after Biden's announcement letter was released, several journalists have noted that Biden's signature and his announcement letter did not match his official signature. Now, I'm going to pull this up so you can see this. Here is the verified signature on the left of your screen, if you're watching the visual of this, and on the right of your screen is the, quote, resignation letter signature. Look at the difference. These are completely different signatures, guys. And again, I know, here we go again, get the tinfoil out. We're going down that road. But again, do you not find it very strange that he did not make this announcement in a White House press release? He didn't announce it to his staff. None of his staffers knew what he was doing. All of them found out, the whole world found out from his post on X, wherein which he, quote unquote, gave his official resignation letter signature on your right of your screen, that all these journalists have pointed out doesn't even match historically his signature that he has put on every other document or everything that he has signed. All right, let's pull up something else I think is interesting here. Let me pull this up. This is from the dailymail.com. The Simpsons have predicted it again. Fans are going wild over viral meme comparing Kamala Harris in a purple suit to Lisa's presidential look from that eerie year 2000 episode. And obviously they're referring to this right here on your screen. This was from a 2000 episode of the Fox series that included Lisa Simpson in a purple suit comparable to the one worn by Vice President Kamala Harris during her inauguration on 2021. Now, some others have noted that this could also, and we don't know what's going to happen, guys. As of right now, the recording of this on Monday, July 22nd, Kamala Harris is the pick for the nominee. Now, will she remain that nominee? Don't know. I don't have a word from the Lord. I'm only going to give you the information we have, but as of right now, she is the pick. She's been endorsed by the current seated president of the United States, Joe Biden, before he stepped down. and pass the torch to Kamala Harris, they're saying that this, again, did the Simpsons once again fulfill predictive programming? You've heard us talk about this, predictive programming. Here's another example of this. Look how crazy this is, though. Purple suit, this necklace that looks like pearls. You got a necklace here that looks like it's got pearls on it. Even the earring over here. But some have also said that this could be Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton has also been seen wearing a purple suit with a very similar outfit as this as well. And by the way, I will let you know that there is some speculation that Hillary Clinton will throw her hat into this and she'll be pushed into this. Again, it is, I told you, what did I say at the beginning of this? I warned you that we are seeing political theater on an all-time high. The characters are in place. The show must go on, and it is going on, and we are all spectators watching this thing unfold. And by the way, it's not like The Simpsons, I'm not trying to get all woo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo here, but The Simpsons have a track record. For example, in season 11 of episode 17 called Bart to the Future in 2000, it was released in 2000, in this episode, Lisa becomes the president and mentions inheriting a budget crunch from her predecessor, Donald Trump, who would later be elected president in real life of the United States in 2016. Okay, then there is the Siegfried and Roy Tiger attack, season 5, episode 10. There was a show that featured a parody of magicians being attacked by their trained white tiger in 2003. This actually happened. Smartwatches, 1995. This episode predicted the use of smartwatches in season 6, episode 19, called Lisa's Wedding, released in 1995, where they predicted the use of smartwatches long before they even became a reality with devices like Apple and other gadgets. Then in season 9, episode 3, Lisa Sachs, S-A-X, 1997 episode. And in one scene, Marge suggests that Bart read a book titled Curious George and the Ebola Virus. And an Ebola outbreak occurred in 2014, bringing significant attention to the virus. Again, this was a third world country virus. Nobody ever heard about it. But it came, and it actually came here to America. And there was small cases of it where it popped up here in America. Then you had Disney buying out 20th Century Fox. Some say this was foretold on season 10, episode 5, When You Dish Upon a Star. That was in 1998. What about Nobel Prize winner, season 22, episode 1, Elementary School Musical 2010? The show predicted that the economist Bengt Holmström would win the Nobel Prize in Economics, which he later did in 2016. Then you had, and we could go on, guys, Lady Gaga's halftime show, the censorship. So these are just a few. These are a handful of these shows, and some of you guys probably got a lot more of them that you could share, but these are just a handful of these that are very creepy. And again, but this, if you understand predictive programming, this is not very shocking to you, and it's not something that should catch you off guard, because we've talked about this many times on our programs. And by the way, some say history is repeating itself with Joe Biden and his announcements, or his latest announcement, because the last time a sitting U.S. president dropped out of the race before the election was in 1968 with President Lyndon Johnson, who announced on March 31st, 1968, that he would not be seeking re-election. His decision was greatly influenced by various factors, including the growing opposition to the Vietnam War and his declining popularity. So again, it's almost like history is repeating itself here. Now, again, as the recording of this, all 50 Democratic Party state chairs have all thrown their weight behind Vice President Kamala Harris to be the party's new presidential nominee. Again, this is according to multiple sources. The chairs held a conference call on Sunday after President Joe Biden announced allegedly announced himself that he was stepping aside as the party's candidate. So now there's a lot of speculation of who would be her vice presidential pick. I want to give you six possible nominees for if Kamala Harris becomes the presidential nominee. These top six, one of these six is likely going to be her pick. Number one is Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Number two is going to be U.S. Senator Mark Kelly. Number three is North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. Number four, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. If you'll remember, he was very influential during the Wont virus. Number five, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She was another one. And then, of course, number six would be Pete Buttigieg. So you've got these six candidates. These are your likely picks of who she would pick as her running mate. Now, I'm getting ready to get into some scripture, and I'm really going to dig some stuff out. But I had to get through. I wanted to give you an update on some of the things that were going on. And I'm going to move. I'm going to shift here. I'm going to share some stuff with you regarding the recent attempted assassination against the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump. This is very interesting. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with the news, but today there was, again, as of this recording, there was a Secret Service hearing on the attempted assassination attempt, where in which lawmakers there was grilling Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. And I want to show you a clip from this. I mean, it got heated, and here's a little snippet from that.
I would have to get back to you.
That is a no. You're full of today. You're just being completely dishonest.
Mr. Chairman, I want to...
Come on.
We have to maintain decorum in this committee, no matter how upset we get.
Have you provided any and all memos to this committee that we've asked you on July 15th? Have you provided all memorandums within the Secret Service?
I would have to get back to you on
that. That is a no. You are being dishonest or lying. You're being dishonest here with this committee. These are important questions that the American people want answers to, and you're just dodging and talking around it in generalities. And we had to subpoena you to be here, and you won't even answer the questions. We have asked you repeatedly to answer our questions. This isn't hard. These are not hard questions.
That is until Saturday, where we recreated the events in Savoy, Texas, where you recreated what happened to Butler. I was lying prone on a slope roof at 130 yards at 6:30 at night. And I knew that he had a scope. I didn't know what kind, red dot or magnified. So I shot 8 rounds from both. You know what the result was? 15 out of 16 kill shots. And the one I missed would have hit the president's ear. That's a 94% success rate. And that shooter was a better shot than me. It is a miracle President Trump wasn't killed. Corey Compaore's life is over because that damn shooter made it on the roof. And it wasn't the roof that was dangerous. It was a nut job on top of the roof. You know what else is dangerous? I believe your horrifying ineptitude and your lack of skilled leadership is a disgrace. Your obfuscating today is shameful. And you should be fired immediately and go back to Garden Doritos. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Chair recognizes Ms. Lee from Pennsylvania.
Then I'm going to read you this. This is interesting here. I want to go back to, remember how I stated to you that no one, the staffers didn't know about Biden stepping down. They only knew it from Twitter. No one has seen him. No one has heard from him. I want to read you this. Now, I've wrestled with if I should share the source of this, so I'm not going to, but I'm going to read you the tweet, okay? Let me read this. Quote, got a weird lead on a story that people should look into. Quote, I got a call from a source close to the Las Vegas metro. The official story was that Joe Biden's trip was cut short. Again, this is the official narrative, was cut short last week due to the want. However, according to this source, U.S. Secret Service informed the Las Vegas Metro that there was an emergency situation involving Sleepy Joe and to close necessary streets so that the president could be transported immediately to University Medical, which they began to do in earnest. Then, mysteriously, there was a stand-down order, and the USSS informed local Vegas PD that they were going to medevac the president to Johns Hopkins, which they presumed meant fly him back east ASAP. Quote, apparently the rumor mill in the police department was that Biden was dying or possibly already dead. Again, I know it's crazy, isn't it? But at this point, what can you believe? Honestly. And I'll get to the Trump assassination in just a minute. Some new information has come out about that as well. Again, I hope this stays up. This will not be on Facebook. I can tell you that. I don't know if it'll even stay up on YouTube, but we're going to try to give it a shot. I didn't think too much about this lead. It seemed too wild to be true, but given that Biden has been out of public sight for days and dropped out of the race via an X post or Twitter, and his brother James indicated health was a factor, I'm beginning to grow more curious if want or something else has been more serious than what we're actually being told or being reported. If anyone with LV Metro has information, please email, and then they give their email address. So, and as I go through this, other individuals have chimed in, and there's not anybody in here that is really refuting this and saying it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold. Now, in response to the hearing on Capitol Hill with, again, the Secret Service coordinator, I do want to read something to you that I found very interesting as well. Let me read this. Now, this was also shared by an individual on Twitter. They have an official account there. Let me read this. Quote, Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle just confirmed that there was only one counter sniper who took a shot on July 13th. This means that the third weapon heard in an audio recordings was not a counter sniper. What does this imply? That there was possibly a second shooter. Again, this is not my opinion, guys. I'm only reading to you. Now, there is other videos out there that has circulated where there's eyewitnesses that said that they saw another shooter on a water tower on that day. I'm not going to pull up the videos because if I do, it gives us more of a risk of getting this taken down. That's why I'm trying to really be careful here. But what am I saying here, guys? Here's what I'm saying. Things sound and smell extremely fishy to me. We're talking about, guys, cover-ups, conspiracies, and things that are happening behind the scenes that I believe, again, is all being led by someone pulling the strings. I'm going to read a statement I made on my own personal Facebook page, because this pertains to us as believers. Where do we go with this, Brother Ricky, as believers? How do we pray about this? Listen to this. I'm going to read this to you verbatim. We posted this on our Instagram page, and it got a lot of responses, and on our Facebook page. And again, guys, there will be people that will unlike us because we are not like a lot of Watchmen ministries and whatnot. I don't put politicians on a pedestal, howbeit Biden, howbeit Trump, howbeit any other politician. We don't put politicians on pedestals here. I try to stick to the word of God. I put Christ, come on the throne and nobody else. So let me read this. Politics has become a major distraction and vice for many believers today. Let me explain. I personally, this is for me, and I will, trust me, I will elaborate. I'm not going to give you this statement, not elaborate. I no longer want to associate myself with the Republican Party at this point. As long as I'm a citizen of the United States, I will vote, because it is my civil duty, I will vote for the best man or woman for this country. One who will uphold the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. But it's not about a particular party any longer. Those days are over. Why? I'm going to elaborate a little bit more in just a second. What we are seeing in front of us are literally two wings from the same bird, the left wing and the right wing. In time, we will all see, as as again, I'm talking kingdom family here, believers. In time, we will see that the kingdoms of this world, including the United States of America, will all soon unite under the same global leader that will rise to power, that's all been foretold in the Bible in the last days, and we are closer now than ever before. So we had better keep our eyes on Jesus and the Word of God and not get swept up in this flood of political propaganda that is sweeping the globe and working overtime to divide the church. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, aren't you contradicting yourself by talking about politics today? No, because I had to get this out there. We're going to cover angles here. And then once we get this out, I don't have any reason to come and revisit or rehash this information again. Okay. So I want you to understand that. Now, again, I know some of you are saying, well, I want to know why you're no longer identifying it with the Republican Party anymore. I'm going to explain all that, but I want to go back to a scripture. Let's go back to the Bible. We covered some of this on a podcast we did last week, but we're going to dig a little bit deeper. Okay. Daniel chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 21. Daniel 2:21. And he, referencing the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he changes the times and the seasons. I want y'all to remember this. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. I'm going to read it one more time for the back row. The Lord changes the times and seasons, and it's the Lord who removes kings and raises up kings. It's the Lord who gives wisdom to the wise, not the foolish, and he gives knowledge to those who have understanding. Okay, why am I bringing this up? Because once you understand this verse, friend, it doesn't matter how ludicrous, how crazy and unbelievable the show gets. And it's getting there. I mean, look what has happened in the past 2 weeks. We've had an attempted assassination that is riddled with conspiracies and double standards and uncertainties and things that just doesn't make no sense and it don't add up to this day. We've now had a sitting president of the United States of America that didn't address the White House, didn't address the staff, didn't do a press conference, he didn't go to the Oval Office and address the nation. No, he stepped down and resigned as the president. Think about the magnitude of that, of the United States of America, through a tweet on Twitter with an alleged signature that doesn't match any other signatures that he's already out, that he has publicly made. So when you read Daniel 2, what I just read to you, you will understand, even as crazy as it looks out there, that the one, even though there is a shadow government at hand, and I believe that with all my heart, there is strings in the natural world, in the realm of politics, in the realm of governments and leaders, man is at work, no doubt. You got to remember, Ephesians 6 says demonic forces work through personalities. Principalities orchestrate through personalities in this world. But above all of that, friend, listen to me. The buck stops at the throne of God. God, your Bible says, changes the times and seasons for his purpose. And for his will, he raises up kings and he sets down kings for his purpose and his will. Now, I will say this. Now, depending on what laws and legislations are passed through kings on this earth, blessings and curses will be released from where they stand, morally, civilly, and all of this. I can prove that in the Bible. For example, King Saul was handpicked by Israel. That was not God's will. It was Israel's desire. They wanted a king, so Saul was given to them, but Saul disobeyed God's commands on several occasions. And the act of disobedience led to God rejecting Saul as king, and it actually impacted the people that was under him and the nation. Then you even had King David, who replaced him. But even David made disastrous decisions when he was in office as king. This was a man that was considered a man that was after God's own heart. But his sins had serious consequences for the nation of Israel. His adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah brought complete turmoil and chaos to his whole household and strife to the nation. The prophet told David that the sword would never depart from his house, which again, this led to a series of violent events, including the rebellion of his son Absalom. So there was consequence of this. King Solomon, David's own son, he would reign and begin in great wisdom and prosperity, but later in his later years, he turned to idolatry. He began to embrace all these foreign women who turned his heart after other gods. And this aroused the anger of God, which eventually caused the division of the kingdom after Solomon's death. Then you had King Jeroboam. Then this is a guy, he also led the people into idolatry by setting up golden calves in Bethel and Dan, and it eventually turned out for the downfall of the kingdom. Then, of course, you had the reign of Ahab and Jezebel during the time of Elijah. This was a wicked couple that was in power and leadership of Israel, and their reign was marked by widespread idolatry, moral corruption, and the shedding of innocent blood. All of this resulted in severe droughts and famines as judgment from God. Okay, but then, watch this, I don't want to leave you there. But then you had kings like Hezekiah. Now here's a king who ordered the removal of the idols of high places. He destroyed sacred stones. He cut down the Asherah poles, and he led the nation into a national revival and prosperity. So all of the people benefited and prospered because of the actions of King Hezekiah. Then you had King Josiah. This was another king of Judah who, again, after he discovered the book of the law in the temple, he led a national movement of repentance and renewed the covenant with God. And because of this, God delayed his impending judgment on Judah. You can find this in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 23. Why am I saying this? Because again, we have to go back to 2 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles 7:14. While you're turning there, listen to this preacher and listen to me real clear. I don't care how high you have Donald Trump up on a pedestal. I'm going to show you today that if you actually believe, friends, that this man is going to be the one who's going to turn this nation back to God, my friends, you're greatly deceived. Now, is he the better candidate than what we have to offer out here? Absolutely. I will not deny that. If voting was today and I went to the polls based on what I have before me as to choose from, you can take it to the bank. I know who I'm going to vote for. But for me, come on, to be naive to think that Donald Trump is the savior of America and that Donald Trump is going to turn this nation back to God, based on some of the things that I have seen lately with him, where his stances are, and I'm gonna show you in just a minute. Hang on there with me. We're almost through this segment, and where the Republican Party is going. Then, friends, again, you're either naive, you're arrogant, or you're just blind to this, and you're choosing to be blind. God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Remember, guys, healing of a nation, revival and awakening and turning back to God is contingent upon the people of that nation humbling themselves before God, praying and seeking the face of God, and turning from their wicked ways, including the advocating of shedding of innocent blood and the condoning of abominations. These are huge things. If God's people, professors of Christ, people that claim to be Christians, advocate this stuff, friends, you can just throw your hopes of revival and awakening down the toilet, because it's just not going to happen. So as of the recording of this, there's been some new revelation come forward since the last time you and I have come together and talked. We were off. Last time we did a podcast was on Thursday. We've been off for about 3 or 4 days. So here we know now that J.D. Vance is the vice presidential pick for Donald Trump. This is an interesting pick, and I'm gonna explain why. And I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to give you my opinion. J.D. Vance has a military background. He served in the U.S. Marine Corps and was deployed to Iraq during the Iraq War. All of his experiences in the military were all put in his story that he shared in his memoir called Hillbilly Elegy. Now, here's what I find intriguing. Again, when we go to Daniel 2, and we remember and we keep in the back of our mind that God changes times and seasons, removes kings, and raises up kings for his ultimate purpose. Okay? Keep that in mind. Then we go, I want to go over here to Ecclesiastes. On your screen, we've got Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, listen what he says. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now let's go through this and look what he says here. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant, to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal. There is a time to break down, to build up, to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance, to cast away stones, to gather stones, to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate. Look at the last part here. A time of war and a time of peace. There is a time of war and a time of peace. Now, maybe I'm the only one that finds this intriguing. That here we have entered into the strong birth pangs of the Messiah, wherein which Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We are currently involved somehow in some way in multiple wars. We have Ukraine, Russia. We have China threatening Taiwan. We have the Middle East that's spiraling out of control. Israel is now in a war with multiple nations and factions. If you want to be technical, it's happening. I believe it's shaping up to be the Psalm 83 war, eventually stepping stones leading to Gog Magog war, Ezekiel 38:39. So of all the choices that Trump picks, he picks a vice president who has a history of a military background. Why is this interesting? Because could it be, guys, again, could it be that the Lord is allowing this to take place because the United States is going to enter into a war? Now, I'm not talking about, some say, well, we're already in war. No, I'm talking about a real war where we're going to see it at our front door. Where, remember, they've already put out a draft. They've reenlisted the draft, got that all ready to go. Everything's being placed. All I'm saying is, remember, God raises up kings. He lowers, he sets down kings. He has a, there's a purpose. He has a season. He changes those times and seasons. And it's interesting how this is shaping up and taking place. Now, something else that's very intriguing about J.D. Vance is his support for Bitcoin or digital currency that aligns with his broader libertarian-leaning views on economic policy. He believes that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies can provide an alternative to traditional financial systems and offer greater financial independence from government control. Vance has also highlighted Bitcoin's potential to act as a hedge against inflation and as a means to preserve wealth. Vance's stance on Bitcoin resonates with his advocacy for technology and innovation as drivers of economic growth and empowerment. He sees cryptocurrencies as part of a larger trend towards decentralization and increased individual control over financial assets. Now, why is that important? Because I'm going to remind you of something. Donald Trump has been vocal about his opposition to the introduction of a digital currency by the U.S. government. In fact, during his campaign and public statements, Trump had expressed concerns about the potential for government outreach and the impact on individual freedoms and financial privacy. He promised to prevent the establishment of a central bank digital currency, or a CBDC, arguing that it could, quote, lead to an increased surveillance and control over citizens' financial transactions. But the winds of change are blowing, and Trump has recently shifted his stance on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Previously, again, as a critic of this, Trump now embraces the sector as part of this 2024 presidential campaign. He has promised to end what he calls Biden's war on crypto and aims to become the crypto president. Again, that's his own words. He said, I aim to become the, quote, crypto president, advocating for the protection of cryptocurrency holders and ensuring that Bitcoin production remains in the U.S. This change appears to be both a strategic move to appeal to crypto-friendly voters and an effort to distinguish himself from the current administration, which some view as less supportive of digital assets. Let me show you where Trump has also made another strategic move to appeal to another demographic of voters. Trump has also recently shifted his stance on abortion, influencing the Republican Party's platform for this election. The new platform removes the previous call for federal abortion restrictions at 20 weeks, but now, instead, it is focused on leaving the issue to the state to legislate. So again, there's capitulation going on here, guys, with the Republican Party and Trump. This change reflects a broader strategy to moderate the party's position on abortion, which Trump has emphasized should be decided at the state level following the Supreme Court's 2022 decision on Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Trump's revised stance includes opposing late-term abortions while supporting policies that promote prenatal care, access to birth control, and fertility treatments like IVF. The new platform also underscores the party's commitment to the 14th Amendment, suggesting the states have the right to enact laws protecting unborn life. By the way, guys, supporting policies like prenatal care, access to birth control. We're talking about the abortion pills that can be regularly given with no regulation, can be easily accessed. And again, the shedding of innocent blood can be performed through the simple act of taking a pill. And again, this is now given a pat on the back from the GOP, the Republicans, and Trump. And just so you'll know, the cumulative number of abortions since the landmark Roe v. Wade decision of 1973 is estimated to be over 60 million. All right, then there was this event. again, this is at the GOP convention. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I cringed when I watched this. She shared a prayer from her faith tradition, which translates to, quote, "This body and soul are yours. You are our mother and father, and we are your children. In your grace and through your benevolence, we experience peace and happiness." She then thanked God, and they should have put a little G here, but they put a big G. She then thanked God for protecting Trump, who was shot at on Sunday at a Pennsylvania rally. She said, quote, "We thank you, dear God, for protecting his life." However, I'm going to read this. Some conservative Christians on X criticized this prayer, saying it was unacceptable and that she was praying to a foreign God. And this was one Twitter poster said, quote, "I have nothing but respect for this woman, but fire whoever invited her to pray to a foreign God. There's only one true God. We pray to him, and his name is not whatever she said. His name is Yahweh, and his only begotten son is Jesus Christ." Now, she believes, when questioned, she believes it seeks, and I want to correct that. I said six while ago, seeks. Again, it's S-I-K-H-S, Sikhs, Jews, and Christians all pray to the same God. No. Quote, "We believe that there is one God." Now, I want to shift gears, and I want to address something that I've gotten emails, messages, text, and all this about. Here, this question keeps coming up constantly. Do you believe that Donald Trump is the Antichrist? And again, I want to answer it again, and I'm going to show you why my answer has not changed. It is no. I do not believe that Trump is the Antichrist. Will Trump be used as a puppet like all these other politicians to pave the way for the real Antichrist? Absolutely. But let me give your ear. I want you to bend your ear to me for just about 5 or 10 minutes, and I'm going to show you something that you need to listen to. First of all, this whole argument that any American president is going to be the Antichrist is highly unlikely. Why? Because the entire Bible, friends, is centered around the Middle East. For example, many Old Testament prophecies, especially those in books like Daniel, Ezekiel, are all focused on regions and nations surrounding the nation of Israel. America is not included. These prophecies often mention specific Middle Eastern nations by name, or they refer to historical empires that controlled the region at the times of when Daniel and Ezekiel wrote those prophecies. Okay, then you go to the New Testament, including the book of Revelation written by John in 95 AD. All of these are also centered around the Middle East. Even the book of Revelation was written on the island of Patmos. It contains imagery and references that are all geographically centered around the Mediterranean and the Middle Eastern regions, not America, not the White House, not Washington, D.C. The Bible itself was written in a cultural and historical context deeply rooted in the Middle East. The nations and the empires that are mentioned, Babylon, Persia, Rome, Greece, all of these were significant players in the region's history. Persia, all these, and these modern nations like Persia, which is Iran, these are all involved. But again, America is missing. So that leads us to the Antichrist. The Antichrist, when you study the Bible, given everything I just told you, it is very probable that the Antichrist is going to emerge from a revived Roman Empire or some coalition of nations that historically occupied the Middle East. Again, go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. The Bible says there will be 10 horns. These are 10 kings that John said have not received a kingdom of yet, but in 1 hour's time, they will receive authority as kings along with the beast. So these 10 nations, guys, in the last days will be formed, and then out among them will rise the Antichrist, because they will surrender their power and their kingdoms over to the Antichrist. If you study these 10 toes, you go to the book of Daniel, it gives you clues of where the Antichrist is likely going to rise out of. And again, America is not one of them. And if, listen, even if we went with the left behind version of the Antichrist, which is the idea of a European leader rising out of the European Union, this is still doesn't give us the anti, this doesn't give us Donald Trump. It doesn't give us a U.S. president. So to recap this, while America is significant and it, and it's a global power, we don't deny that. I believe that the focus of biblical prophecy must remain biblical, and it aligns with the Middle East, and it's all centered out of that region, friend. You can't change. We got to stop taking scripture and twisting it out of context and making it try to fit where we want it to fit. We've covered this on our one of our last segments. We talked about where people was trying to equate Trump and what happened to him with Revelation 13 and talking about the beast will take a mortal wound to the head and he'll rise again in the last days. No, we've already debunked that. And the fact that people keep saying that Trump is going to be the Antichrist, he's going to rise out of the Washington, he's going to rise out of D.C. Again, I don't understand. Guys, I don't know how much more proof we can give you and show you. If you stick to the Bible, you can't believe that. You have to stick to the scriptures. If you stick to the scriptures, you can't go wrong. These are the guardrails of the bowling alley. When you throw the ball and you have the guardrails up, the guardrails keep the ball from going in the gutter. If you want, listen, if you're a leader, you're a minister of the gospel, you're someone trying to reach people with the gospel, if you take this ball, if you pull those gutters down, if you remove the gutters, if you remove the rails, and that equates to removing the Bible, then friends, we could come up with anything we want. We could just make up stuff, but we can't do that. As we have to remain as possible as we can to remain theologically sound. We've got to remain accurate, and we have a responsibility, at least our ministry does, because I'm going to stand before God and give an account of him, and I am not going to give you these hypotheses that doesn't even align with scripture. Now, if we were talking about, you know, somebody like Erdogan from Turkey, or somebody raising a king coming up out of Persia or Saudi Arabia, and we were to give an hypothesis that they could be the Antichrist, guys, that at least has more credence to it than an American president coming out of Washington, D.C. So we wanted to cover that. We wanted to get that out there. Look, the bottom line is, guys, and I cannot believe we're out of time, but we are out of time. We've covered a lot on this segment. Again, endtimeheadlinesguys.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, please, if you have not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. Pick it up on our Apple Store, our Android Store. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away and good to go with every podcast and every headline when it's readily available. Listen, what I wanted to say was the bottom line is things are getting biblical. Things are getting weird. Things are getting crazy. I'm going to go back to the very opening statement I made today. The theater set, the players are in place, and the show must go on. We are witnessing the show. Enjoy the show, but remember, God is in control. That's what I want to leave you with. Listen, if this ministry has blessed you, encouraged you, equipped you, informed you, all of the above, we want to give an opportunity to sow back, partner with us, pray about becoming a partner. You can do that multiple ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website right there on the screen. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Guys, there is some stuff that I wanted to get into today. For example, the recent Microsoft meltdown, we didn't even get to cover that. We're going to cover that this week. We've got at least four podcasts on deck this week. So we've got a full week to cover all this. So we will be back here, Lord willing, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray you all have a great night. May the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.